and welcome to the Two Tones podcast. It is the official podcast of the Carlton Football Club. Tony DeBolfo.
Greetings, Tony. It's going to be a hard one.
And myself, Tony Moak. There it is, round 21. As Winston Churchill said, for the next half an hour or so, Tone, we must brace ourselves to our duty.
Very true.
But before we get into that, Tone, it is round 21. There's only one giant number that sticks out, of course, to me.
Well, the game's record holder, Tony, stands out like a beacon, does he? Yeah. Steve Bradley, Esquire, one of the great players. Could have gone around
for another year or two, just asking.
And had notched up 99 at Port Adelaide before he came over, so probably would have played 500.
Oh, my God.
What a player, you know, when he came in, Tone, you would have remembered for Simo's 300, that famous photo now. And to me, looked to be still at his ideal playing weight. Magnificent footballer he was.
And a complete health freak. I remember one of the things I'll always remember reading about Braddles is after the 95 Premiership, he basically had to be ordered to drink a celebratory beer. He like his body was an absolute temple.
Yes, I'm told that the same request was put to you on Grandfather 95. Is that right?
I did my duty.
Those were the days.
Yes, indeed. Well, we're further away from that year than I think ever we have been. We are going to reflect on the round 20 game, Carlton 7-4-46 versus Greater Western Sydney. Have a listen to this for a scoreline, 23-13-151. I'm sure a lot of people thought as soon as we hit triple figures, we're leaving the ground.
Well,
And some people did. Can I just say before we begin, though, in fairness, GWS are the most impressive football team I've seen all year.
They looked a powerhouse, didn't they? And even to hear Brendan Bolton assess the game afterwards, you know, he was speaking in glowing terms in terms of the intensity with which the goal, the Greater Western Sydney players really ran, you know, and well, they've got running machines all over the ground, and our players were under siege, there's no doubt about it, and they're an impressive side, and so they should be. I mean, if you think about it, about the genesis of the team and, you know, immediate access to the plethora of the best young talent in Australia. Mm. You know, he's a group that's, been together 4 or 5 years now and by right should be really starting to come through. And admittedly, like all clubs, none the least of which is Carlton, GWS has injury concerns, but, boy, crikey, they're going to give it a shake, I reckon.
They really are. When they're full fit and firing, look out. I mean, based on... Well, just some of the passages of play. I mean, right from the word go, I missed the first 5 minutes, but apparently there was, like, from the first bounce, they were just switched on, ready to go.
They were.
They're disciplined, they're united, they're extraordinarily skillful.
They're hungry too.
Yeah.
You know, they've had the disappointments in recent years, you know, this time of year, so they're hungry, and I think that's it's hard to quantify hunger, but I think it's a... It's an important component in the complete picture of GWS, and I just think if they can maintain their list going into September, they're an intimidating team, and they're going to trouble a lot of teams. We will not be alone there, Tony, in terms of the way we've had to. Well, the duress in which we were under against that team, they were impressive.
Well, there's not much to take away from the game. There are a few things. To me, most notably, is the fact that our recruitment manager had a lot to do with the fact that they played very well. So, yay, Sauce. And I think we can take that as a win for Carlton.
Well, we can. And look, if you look at our players too, I guess for a lot of them, particularly younger players, it was a real, you know, I hate using the phrase, a learning curve. It was. But you'd have to think, you know, players like Dow and O'Brien, Harry McKay, we'll talk a bit more about him, Marchbank, all these players can only benefit from an experience like that. And, I mean, in many ways, GWS is the benchmark.
Mm.
You know, for the players that experienced that situation at the weekend, I mean, it's a rude awakening in many respects, but an understanding too in terms of what it will actually take.
Yeah.
to compete with the best of them. So, you know, that's a great experience that I'm sure the players to a man will glean a lot from, because in GWS that was a formidable opposition, no doubt about it.
Yeah, there was a few head-in-hand moments, but there was also, you know, you just had to sit back and marvel in awe at what that team had assembled. Obviously, they were given a lot of preferential treatment, and you wonder then in this day and age. I mean, Richmond as a Melbourne-based club, they've done it the hard and the smart way. GWS have been, let's say, gifted quite a bit of help thanks to the AFL. How do we get there?
Well, that's true. I mean, it's no click your fingers, is it? I mean, it's going to take time for Silvani to build this list and get as many good players into the club as we can, get them playing together and really gelling as a football team. Look, there are mitigating factors, I'm sure. We've had a lot of players out this year, no doubt about that. Mm. But then you look at GWS, and I mean, Dylan Shield didn't start that game, nor did Scully. Yeah. And then you look at the last quarter, we were there, down to 16.
Yeah.
I mean, 16 used to be a wonderful number here at Carlton, Tone.
Yes, it did.
But it had nasty connotations the weekend, didn't it?
And that was a quarter. There was a bit of spirit in the third quarter, but the last quarter, GWS just really piled it on.
Well, the Carlton players just couldn't cope with it. It seemed very, very good football team, GWS, and you just have to hope that the Carlton players come back the right way this week on the road to Western Australia.
Well, we will get to previewing that game in a moment, but you look at certain statistics, GWS 401 disposals to Carlton's 306, so that's an average of 25 a quarter that we were down. GWS 156 contested possessions to Carlton's 120. The rays of light, the brightest, the shiniest, obviously, was Harry McKay, and he was playing up forward. So we're playing two talls up forward. You could see the logic of that, but they were playing a very tall back line.
Well, they were, but look, let's talk about Harry McKay for a moment, Tone. It was fabulous to see him, backing himself in and taking those clunking grabs. And he's such a mobile player, too.
Yeah.
It's magnificent watching him swing on the left boot and backing himself in from 50 or 60 out. Love the way he pushes himself up the ground. Not dissimilar to the way Revolt did when he played at St Kilda. With Harry, he's still so very raw. So you know that as he develops and, you know, grows into his body, as they say, and gets games under him, what a potent force he will be, particularly in tandem with Charlie Curnow. And look, on a grim Sunday afternoon, Harry stood like a beacon, didn't he?
Yeah.
It was a magnificent performance. To kick three in a team that was really overpowered by GWS, I thought that was an incredible showing from Harry McKay. And it's with every week we're seeing the progress of this player, who obviously has great ability, as Stephen Silvani identified when he called his name. So that was something for us to save a ton on a day when there weren't too many positives. That's for sure.
No, well, I noticed when he was on the bench, Charlie became the focus up forward, but he was being double teamed by two very tall defenders, and that loose man that we should have had just didn't appear.
No.
But then, you know, I don't think there was much Carlton could have done to have checked GWS's rampant run.
No. The run was clearly a worry for the Carlton collective. And, you know, Charlie battled on pretty manfully. But, you know, you think of him, Harry McKay, but also those other young players, Dale, O'Brien, Marchbank. They'll glean a lot from that, Tony.
Yeah.
You know, they'll learn a lot. As I said earlier, GWS, you've got to put them right up there. You rate them in the absolute elite terms of the competition, and they're going to trouble a lot of teams.
Yeah, look, if they want to knock Richmond off in the last game of the year, more power to them, I say. Let's shine the light on a player that we absolutely just... yeah, we love him here at the Two Tones. The great Patrick Cripps, how'd you rate his performance, Tone?
Well, look, I thought Ward probably had the better of him, I have to say. Yeah. And, you know, it's a rarity this season that we could suggest for a moment that Patrick Cripps had his colours lowered. But I do think that Ward, Callum Ward, had probably the better of Cripps in that game. You look at Cripps's numbers, they're not too bad, but I don't think they were as damaging as they have been in other occasions this year. And Cripp is probably entitled to a downer too. Yeah, I mean, it's been a long, hard year, probably for him more than anyone, you know, having to deal with the responsibilities of the captaincy for a long part of the season, on top of worrying about his own game, in a year where, you know, we are bereft of numbers. I suppose there was always going to be that possible letdown somewhere along the line. It's hard to be critical of him, though. He's been outstanding. And all power to Ward. I thought he did a great job on Cripper in that particular game. But we didn't have too many winners over the ground, it must be said.
No, we didn't. Can I ask, you might know this, who was on Josh Kelly?
Well, that's a great question, Tony. Question without notice. I'm not sure who was going head-to-head with him. Whether it was O'Brien...
It ended up being Ed Curno in the end, didn't it?
Well, I think it was, but... but I mean, you talk of like Kelly to me. I mean, he's more complete player than Scully because I think he's in and under, whereas Scully's more of an outside player, and he seems to have as much speed as Scully does. He's a glorious footballer. Yeah, you know, he's got that raking left foot. It's you know. You have to admit it. You know, it's a pleasure to see him actually out there playing. You know, it wasn't wrapped on him soon doing the damage against Carlton, but, you know, taken in isolation, he's a very accomplished footballer. And it's frightening to think what is ahead for a young player like Kelly. He's, you know, only in the first third or quarter of his career. He's a fine footballer. So, look, we were just outplayed by a very, very... creditable football team, and as I said earlier, they're going to take a lot of scalps, GWS, in the run home, I believe. If they have a bit of luck with injury, I think they're going to be there at the pointy end, Tone, as they say.
Yeah, well, they weren't too lucky on Sunday, were they? They had, well, as you said, they were down to 16 men, and there were a lot of commentators who like to repeat that fact that Carlton were beaten in the last quarter by a team with essentially two men down. So, look, we'll see how they go this week. But, Tone, before we get on to previewing Carlton's game against Frio, you need to give us your three votes.
Gee whiz, this is a hard exercise. But, look, I went with the old reliable. I went with number six, a little big man, Cade Simpson. I just thought he was pretty valiant on a day where, you know, the team was, as a collective, was under siege. So... Mm. I just believe to Simo. Had a great year, Simo, in a big year for him. Hasn't lost a yard, Tony, and he's still as competitive as ever. I love the way he plays, and no worries with him settling up again next year, I feel. Two votes to another senior figure at the club, Dale Thomas.
Yeah.
I thought, Toby Green, I think he stood early in the game. Toby came off injured, but I thought he did a pretty good job. He was probably one player... You'd say probably won his one-on-one duel with his opponent.
Yep.
And three to the big fellow at up forward, Harry Mackay. I thought he was three goals, eight marks. Great to see some of those big grabs, you know. You know, that's the future, isn't it, right there, Tony? And to see him and Charlie lurking around that forward 50, you know, when you think about what it's going to be like when, you know, we can get our balance right and we're starting to get clean ball into the forward 50.
Yeah.
How dangerous these two players are going to really be for Carlton. What great focal points they are for the team. And I think that certainly whets the appetite. You know, you're thinking that, you know, the tall timbers up front, Mackay and Charlie Curnow, you have to think they're going to be at the forefront for Carlton for many years to come. That's great.
Who crumbs then in that scenario? Well, you need a... I guess, a Betts-type player as a third option.
Well, you do, you know, and I suppose Matty Wright's been the man at the moment for that task. Fellow that tends to pick up his twos and three goals along the way. But, you know, I'm sure that in time, Bolton, I think, has been on the record as saying that we wanted to get our defence settled first. And to a large extent, that was done. That was done deal until, you know, Doherty broke down, and then suddenly Plowman went over, and Jakob Wiedering has been available. So there's been issues up
back. Throw Liam Jones in there as well.
And Liam Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, we've been decimated in the defensive half. But the forward line, is, I suppose it's fair to say, still a work in progress. Mm. And time will tell, I suppose, Tony, as to who make up that front six. The other player, I think, it must come into the equation, and he played at the weekend, is Jared Pickett.
Oh, yeah.
But again, Jared Pickett's had an injury-interrupted year and has really sort of struggled to readjust after that long layoff. But there's a player with inherent natural ability.
Yeah, from what I've seen, I've really liked Jared Pickett this year.
Yes.
And give him a pre-season and, an extended injury-free period.
Yep.
And I think we're going to see some great things from him.
And a most engaging character he is too, Tony. He's a really, really friendly fellow. And probably the most impressive thing I find in Jared Pickett is that if you've been lucky enough to meet him, you see him again, he remembers your name.
Oh.
And that's a gift.
Oh, yeah.
That
yeah,
is
it
a
is.
Gift.
That'll take him far.
It will.
I tell you. He wears a great number too, so he's worn with pride. Okay, well, thank you for that, Tone, those three votes. I won't recap the score. There's just no point. We'll just draw a line under that and we move on. We now preview round 21 against Freo. The team are, thanks to Virgin Airlines, heading off to Perth.
You'll obviously be in first class, making
naturally, yeah.
Across.
And if the pilot gets food poisoning, I'll jump in and do what I have to, Tone. So that's Optus Stadium. An Optus. What were we when we were sponsored by Optus? We weren't a stadium.
Optus Oval. We were too. Yeah. So they word takes a little while to filter through to WA. So, that's the first time we'll be playing at the newly developed stadium, Tony's, which is interesting. And it is. Is it a twilight game? Oh no, it's not. It's early. 2:40 p.m.
That's Australian Western
Standard
Time.
Yeah.
Which is what for us about 4:40.
It'll be 4:40, I guess, here. So I'd imagine you'd be getting a couple of quiet ones in before the mandatory Palmer down at the Grand View.
We'll see how we go. I'm probably going to be watching it on the laptop at home and scaring the kids with my reaction. I imagine that's probably what I'll be doing.
You don't have a cat, do you, Tony?
No.
Cat is...
The old dog, before we lost her, she knew to be in another part of the house. She was a smart girl. What do you know about the surface at the new ground? I mean, we hear about Etihad Stadium being a hard surface to play on because it's essentially built on a car park. Mm. What's the feedback been about Optus Stadium?
Look, I can't answer that. I don't know what the feedback is on it. Suffice to say, I don't think there's been too many serious injuries accrued on that ground since the redevelopment. I can always remember Subiaco Oval as a dry track, a really hard strip, and a lot of players went over with knees on that ground.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's been an incidence of serious injury at Optus Stadium to date. May stand corrected there, but I don't think the ground poses any, you know, diabolical threats to either West Coast, Fremantle, or visiting teams like Carlton this week. So I'd imagine the players, you know, they'll fly out probably Saturday. They'll be together. They would have had the opportunity all week to take stock, review what happened against GWS, and move on pretty quickly. So I think the fact that, you know, Brendan Bolton has an opportunity to get out of town with the players is a good thing. You know, the team's pretty close, but I'm sure it'll bond closer now leading into this challenge. And, let's face it, you know, they can throw everything and the kitchen sink at Fremantle. Why not? There'll be players playing for their careers. There'll be other players, younger players that are with every game trying to establish themselves as, you know, bona fide league footballers. So plenty of players have got plenty to play for, Tony.
Yeah.
Make no mistake.
Oh, ain't that the truth. Now, last time Carlton played Freo was round 13. It was at Etihad. We lost that one 16-46 to 15-13-103.
Yeah, that was an abysmal performance, if I remember.
Yeah.
You know, you get them on your home digs, you'd expect a probably a more competitive showing than that one.
Now, who's going to be under the nose of the selection committee? Is there anyone coming back from injury that we should know about?
Well, I dare say that you know, Matt Cruiser, if you know,
excellent.
If you know, the medicos give him the all clear, will be probably a chance to resume. It's been, you know, a strange one to say the least.
Yeah.
You know, and they've obviously, the medicos have gone softly with him. You know. It's been, what has it been, 3 weeks now? Coming up for a month, I suppose.
Yeah, so it sounds like the best part of a month.
Yeah, so he hasn't played for a little while. So you would imagine that he may come back into calculations. You've got, well, yeah, Jakob Viertering, recall, you know, put his body on the line in that interview with May of the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
Great effort. So you'd like to think that he might be thereabouts. Jack Silvani, who withdrew at the end.
He was a late out.
Yeah, I'd imagine all these players are tests. They're probably the players that would be most likely. You're looking at those three players would be, I think, around the mark. And then when you go down the list, Tony, unfortunately, you see names with the word season penciling alongside, you know. And I mean, it's a horror story. David Cunningham, Zach Fisher, Liam Jones, Andrew Phillips, Tom Williamson, Sam Doherty, Alex Silvani, and Lachie Plowman. Now,
wow.
How many is that? 1, 2, 3. That's 9. So that,
wow.
That, and if you look at that group,
out of
you'd
a list
say,
of what, 44?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you'd say of that 9, you'd probably say all 9 of them would feature in Carlton's best team.
Yeah.
So while we, you know, we hear of the sad stories at Collingwood and GWS and wherever, Carlton has not been untouched.
Mm.
And really, if you think about it, what Brendan Bolton has had to deal with, given his limited resources at his disposal, it's probably no surprise that, you know, we're really, we seem to be dragging our feet, you know, as the season draws to its end. So it's been a tough year, no doubt, no question about it. You don't make excuses, but there have been some mitigating factors.
Yeah, I think that's always worth keeping in mind. Anyway, well, look, any of the players who you said Silvani and Cruiser and Jakob, but
yes.
We're not. I'm not trying to nail you down here, Tone, but at least if
you're
those...
You're going for the throat, Tony.
No, all I'm saying, if even we get, let's say, 2 of those 3 playing, I mean, that's all upside, if you ask me.
Yeah, very true. And what I say, in Cruiser's absence, I think that Lobb has done a great job.
He's been magnificent.
Oh, he's been great. It's funny, isn't it, when you think about, well, gee, why has it taken him this long, you know? Again, I think he's a player that has had an injury-interrupted season. But I believe that, you know, since his call-up, he's been admirable.
Yeah.
You know, in the way he contests the centre bounces and follows up on the initial play, second and third effort. So I think he really sets a tone, and I love seeing that. I mean, mind you, Cruiser plays that way too.
Yeah.
But I think to deputise for Cruiser so late in the season, he's done a very, very good job for Carlton. And,
so do they both play if Cruiser's back?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know if you can play them both. I'm not sure about that. And without sort of analysing the tools from Adel, I'm not so sure.
Because we've been down this road before with a surfeit of talented ruckman. And we know what happened, the beneficiaries being Adelaide and Richmond.
Yes.
To varying degrees, I might point out. But, so we don't want to have that kind of talent inside the tent and then I don't know, let him walk for lack of opportunity.
That's very true, Tony. I think Lobb's done enough to show that, you know, he'll be a required player in 2019. And you just have to hope that... Big Cruz can actually get his body right because on song. He's an important Carlton footballer.
Oh, we love him. We love him. All right. Well, that is, as we said, 2:40 p.m. Perth time on Sunday. Now, before we go, Tone, we're going to preview next week on the Two Tones.
Yes, we will, Tone. Next week, we will have in the studio as a guest Dan Eddy, the author. You may recall, wrote a tribute to Dick Reynolds, Dick Reynolds' biography, King Richard, and more recently won plaudits for his book. What was it, Larrikins and Heroes?
Yes.
I think it was. Heroes and Larrikins?
No, memory. There were three in the title, from memory.
About the boys that were there for the, you know, the three premierships, 79, 81, 82, the first of them under Jezelenko, the second under and third under Parkin. Great read it was too. Well, Dan just completed a book on the Norm Smith medalists, players who delivered on football's grandest stage, Tony. And, of course, it opens up with the inaugural winner, Wayne Harms, and I have started to read Wayne's story. Fabulous it is too.
Yeah.
And, of course, we'll be looking in detail with Dan when he sits in next week on the on our other Norm Smith medalists, Bruce Duell, David Rhys-Jones and Greg Williams in 95. So I'm sure that will be something that our listeners will devour when Dan comes in to reflect on his new tome.
Very much looking forward to that. And a tome it is. That weighs in at about 400 pages, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, Tone. It's
what are we up around?
Tolstoy-esque. It's 576 pages.
Jeez, there we go.
Ends with Dusty Martin, but all the good stuff's up front.
Yeah.
we'll digest that next week. That will be fun, Tone. And might I say, Tony, I've also just had great fortune to sit down with Paddy Dow.
Ah.
I just got an opportunity to chat with Paddy about the season so far, his inaugural season at senior level, how he's found it, what have been the pitfalls, haven't been too many. He talked about how he loved the opportunity to, you know, take responsibility in the centre.
Yeah.
You know, with Murphy out of the team, I guess the opportunity opened up perhaps sooner than he actually anticipated.
Yeah.
But he talked about how much he loved the club, how much he loved coming to training, how much he loved the experience of playing league football. And he's a very measured, mature fellow, Tone. And he's talking about how he was boarding, I think, for a while at Geelong Grammar, if memory serves.
Yes.
And he talked about whether it was through the academy at the time, that he actually had occasion to train for 2 weeks at the Geelong Football Club.
Yeah.
And I asked him whether he was exposed to any of the Geelong players. He said, oh, yes, we're trained with all of them. And he actually acknowledged Joel Selwood. He said he was a fabulous person in actually welcoming me to the club and taking me in. It was lovely to hear, you know.
Yeah.
So he talks about you know, the preparations for his maiden season of league football, and reflecting now on the near the end of it, you know, what he's learnt and gleaned from the game. Most insightful, thoughtful person, a very nice fellow. What a player, Tony, too. What a player.
2019 for Paddy Dow, I'd say.
Absolutely.
Well, it's interesting. We recruited more players in the past from Geelong Grammar. I wonder how Prince Charles would have gone. I don't know, as an anti... what do you reckon? Where would you play Prince Charles?
Well, I don't know where you play. You mentioned earlier, Tony, you're looking for a will-o'-the-wisp forward at the foot of Harry Mackay. Well, you know, HRH in the pocket, probably.
Okay.
I don't know. But he's not totally unknown to the club either, I might say, Prince Charles, because you will recall, Tony, in 1972 when we kicked the record score in a grand final against Richmond.
Yeah.
The postscript to that game was the world tour of Europe, and I think it ended up in Singapore on the way back. But there was a game that Carlton played against the All-Stars, which was a conglomerate of players from all over the country, and I think in that team were players like Mel Brown, Malcolm Blight and Glenn Hewitt. Leighton Hewitt's father was in that particular touring party. And the Carlton players were introduced to His Royal Highness on the Oval that match. And I have seen a photo of Big Nick introducing Prince Charles to Bruce Duell, and reading between the lines, looking at the photo, I don't think there was a hell of a lot said.
Okay, that's unusual.
That's right.
Well, that's all from us. We wish Carlton, of course, all the best against Freo. Song for the week, Tone.
You've been working on it, I know.
I think, given where we are at the end of the season and given, I guess, how I felt as I left the MCG the other day, I've chosen a song from a British band of the 1960s. What was your suggestion earlier you thought it might be?
Well, I thought it might have been Help for the Beatles, but it's a very facetious thing of me to say, Tony, and I withdraw that comment immediately.
Right, I'm going to put you out of your misery because it was driving you mad before we hit the record button, and I'll put Lucy out of her misery too, our producer. It's by Pink Floyd, and it's simply called Comfortably Numb.